May I speak in the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. In our Genesis reading, Abraham is addressed by God, who commands him, "Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." To hearken unto God's voice, this passage suggests, is to take risks into the unknown. The call to go, to change, and to take risks is a call that depends upon response and co-creation. God speaks, but it takes a soul to respond and to act. So, what of God's call in this moment and in this place? The call to co-create a future, as this sermon series invites us to do, and specifically to reimagine the future of worship. To imagine the future of worship is not without its challenges, as worship is in many ways characterized by tradition, repetition, and remembering. We gather in ancient buildings, gifted by previous generations, listening to ancient texts and singing traditional hymns. As such, worship by its very nature could be seen to be in opposition to innovation. So won't the future of worship just be more of the same? Yet, as we have just heard, Scripture tells us it's not just about staying put. The people of God are a pilgrim people, moving on and forward at God's invitation. So what more can Scripture reveal to us about the future of worship? If we review the early encounters with God in the Old Testament, we see that they were most often encounters with God in the great outdoor world, on mountains, by lakes, in deserts, rather than an encounter with God in towns or cities or buildings. We have, for instance, the paradigmatic story of Moses and the burning bush. Moses was tending his flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. It was here, by the mountain of God, that the angel of the Lord appears in the bush as a flames of fire and declares, "Do not come any closer. Take off your shoes, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." As for the people of God in the Old Testament, their foundational experience of liberation from slavery in Egypt saw them follow God during a long and arduous pilgrimage to the promised land. It was a journey and experience of homelessness and landlessness, of sleeping in tents, and of depending on God for manna from heaven. And it was also a time when Moses met with God frequently up the mountain and under the cover of clouds. But it's not just the Old Testament that has such stories. Think about Jesus himself and the setting for his teaching. He traveled on foot, gave sermons from boats and mountains, walked on water, fed over 5,000 people at a grand outdoor picnic, was baptized in the flowing rivers of the Jordan, and spent long nights in prayer on the mountains, crucified too, outside the city walls. Jesus, in other words, inhabited the local geography where he lived his life. And it was in these local places, out and about in context, that God also appeared. God was certainly not confined to the temple, but was at home in the entire creation he had made. Yet through the centuries, we have to admit that Christian worship has become synonymous with Christian buildings, churches and chapels just like this one. And one unintended consequence of the tradition we have of these magnificent places that do indeed give glory to God is the idea that it's only religious people that worship. And they do that in special set aside buildings. Yet as we know, very few people in the UK gather week by week in churches. So there's a real threat that we have to take seriously, that there's no future of Christian worship on these aisles. If we define worship as that which happens in churches and chapels. In contrast, however, many people today are finding that in forests and woods, by lakes and the sea, through wild swimming, through pilgrimage and more, a great spiritual connection and opportunity. The resurgence in the popularity of nature and of pilgrimage itself shows a longing for God, which is expressed through slowing down, walking as a mode of prayer and contemplation, walking as a way of seeing the sacred in the local and in the everyday. Maybe then the outdoor or natural world has more to tell us than we have remembered about God and about how to worship. Indeed, as Wendell Berry expresses it in the poem we heard, the call of the wild, of the non-human parts of creation, presents itself as an antidote to the clamor of human activity, progress, success, domination. In the age of the Anthropocene, an age characterized by the mass technological extraction of raw materials, global climate change, extensive species decline, urbanization and globalization, humans collectively reveal a lack of reverence to the material world around us. At the same time, we live in apocalyptic times, with a fearful number of threats viewing us from the horizon. And those threats can leave us feeling the potential of our own annihilation. One response is to reconnect with the present, and specifically with the land on which we stand, and to receive from God the words we need to hear again. Take off your shoes, for you stand on holy ground. God, as Creator, blessed the earth and all that God has made, not just certain parts of creation, but all is holy, all is sacred. The worship of the future, I suggest to you, will be worship that needs us to reimagine our relationship to the whole of creation. We will need to worship God by contemplating the gift of the world, its water, its air, its land, its green, its blue, its silver and gold, its glimmer and shine, its sun and earth, everything that is, including you and me. This will inevitably mean relocating some of our worship practices into the created world, as is already happening through forest and muddy church, pioneering developments at the radical edge. To gather outside in a woodland area and take a wander walk is to reconnect with God's creation, and to link the wonder of creation with praise of God. The worship of our future may be reframed by the words of God reimagined, which always call us onwards. Get thee outside unto the world I have fashioned. Look, notice, wonder, and give me praise. Amen.